In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as you can see from your orders of service, we're focusing in our thought today on two words, come and go. Now, they're two of the simplest words in the language. They're two words that, by their very simplicity, are learned very soon by small children learning to talk. And they sum up for us what, in some ways, is the heart of the Christian message. And they're two words that were frequently on the lips of Jesus. How often Jesus said, come. It's an inviting word, and Jesus was always issuing invitations. Come to the feast, the heavenly party. Come to join my kingdom. Come to me, as he said to the children. Let the little children come to me. It's a lovely word. And it was a wonderful invitation. Now, of course, in a sense, we hear it every Sunday when we come here. We came this morning because we may not realize it, but we heard the call to come and worship. But it goes much deeper than that. Jesus used it in the original call to his disciples. And that may be where we too heard it. Come, he said to the fishermen disciples as they left their nets. Come to Matthew, he said, as he had to leave his tax collecting. Come and follow me. And enter into a whole new lifestyle. Come if you're weary, and I will give you rest. Come if the burdens of life are heavy, and I will share the load. Come and give all of your life to me, and you will have a new purpose and meaning. And all these comes bring out in the New Testament, and they're alive for us this morning. If by chance there's anyone here who hasn't heard this message before, but as well as the come and the invitation, there's a warning. If anyone will come after me, he has to take up his cross and follow me. There's a promise of good things, but there's also a promise of hard things. Self-denial, a new set of values, change priorities, perhaps. Perhaps, and this is true for some people, opposition from family or friends. When you receive an invitation from anyone, you have to reply. You have to say yes or no. I'm coming or I'm not coming. And that's what it's like with Jesus. We say yes or no. Now, some people here may remember the very moment when they said yes. Or we may not. We may gradually, across the years, have come to a place of being by the side of Jesus. And in effect, we are his followers, and we have said yes. Or there is, of course, the possibility of saying no. Now, there are lots of people in our day who are saying no to Jesus. They would never recall actually saying no. And they might even be horrified at the idea. But by the neglect of his message, by missing out the worship of God and the things of the Spirit, then in effect they have said, no, I'm having nothing to do with that, with you. In the great parables of the kingdom that we get, mostly in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus always says that ultimately there are the ins and the outs. And the interesting thing is that the outs exclude themselves. To effectually say no to Jesus is to exclude ourselves from the good things that he offers. So the great word come is issued to all, everywhere, cannot be avoided as part of the Christian gospel. And if it happens that there should be anybody here who hasn't heard it, then it may be that it comes to you this morning. Come and follow me. And what about the other word, go? Well, just as come is a movement towards, so go is a movement away. And it's as if Jesus takes us when we come and then turns us round and sends us out again. But it's not so simplistic as that. We get time to spend with him, to learn more of what he has to say, to enjoy his presence, his friendship, his companionship. But we must not stay there. We must not hold these good things to ourselves. All of you here in this congregation, if you have come to know the love of Jesus, then in your ears must sound the word go. It was there at the very beginning when Jesus said to the fishermen, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I will send you out again to gather others in. That whole principle is inherent in the first call. Come and then go for others. Go into all the world, he said, and make disciples. We are invited so that we can go again and share. And so often this is where the church has failed. We've held our message to ourselves within the walls, as it were, and not shared it. And so, as a national church, we shrink because it's the outward-looking, outward-going church that is also a growing church. Now, of course, there can be big, special efforts, big scale, organized events to share our faith. And every church should have a mission plan. But just as effective is the going of each one who has come individually, sharing with family, neighbors, friends, colleagues at work. Come and go. All the gospel, all the expansion of the church through the ages hinges on these two little words. First, you come to know him personally yourself, and then you go to share that with others, and still he is with you always. And he has never been more with the church than when it's been an outgoing missionary body. In our day in Scotland, it's urgent that we listen to both these words, because the mission field is here on our very doorstep. Amen, and to God's name be the power and the glory.